my favorites of all times. In fact, for those of you who don't know my background, when I did a core value analysis, the word commitment came out as one of my three top core values. So you were really hitting a chord here today. You know, all develop a level of commitment in our lives around things that we say we're going to do, and really be staunch in our concept of what are our goals, what are we going to achieve, what, you know, it's about being committed behind them. And commitment's a big word. A lot of people use it freely, misuse it, abuse it, break commitments without even any repercussions or thinking there are any repercussions. But commitment is a huge word. And I love this little quote they gave at the beginning of the chapter in Peter Hirsch's book. Of course, this is chapter 7 of his 10 simple secrets that guarantee your success. He says, a chicken and a pig were having a discussion. The chicken said, I am committed to giving one egg every day. The pig responded, that's not commitment. That's just participation. Giving bacon, now that is commitment. So some of you can appreciate that comment. And then you can kind of look at that little quote and say, how many of you are just participating in the Manatech business instead of committed to it? Therein lies some self-analysis that needs to be done by all of us. So if we look at the word commitment, where does the commitment, you know, what is the you know, kind of a truism behind the word commitment? And that is, you know, and you see it a lot when you read different books and self-development books and strategy books and business books. You see that the word commitment, that there truly is one elemental truth behind the word commitment, and that is that once you make a commitment, once you commit to something, then providence moves too. And what is that all about? It's about the fact that when you get committed to something and you truly put everything behind it, all of a sudden you're going to see how the universe starts working with you. Some things will fall in place, things will happen around you, people will show up out of nowhere, you know, mechanisms, as we call them, or the how-tos will just come to you. Your creative senses and juices will flow like they've never flowed before. You'll just see miraculous things happen around you, very much like what I say, you know, in regard to like a mastermind type concept. You're going to see when you get committed to something, you're just going to have a whole resource around you that's going to support you in accomplishing whatever that is that you get totally committed to. And the concept that nothing happens without commitment truly is something that I do believe. I don't believe that we can accomplish anything without being committed to it, because it takes our commitment to make the energy and the focus and the action take place. And once you commit, it truly happens. No matter how long it takes, no matter what else happens, no matter what, it truly happens. So the power of the word commitment, the power of your ability to focus and aim and take action around specific goal or whatever your specific intent is, whatever you specifically apply yourself to, the true power of that is off the charts. And people who understand commitment and really live in it every day really get this because of the things that create in their lives. And they look back and they say, wow, I didn't even create that. It's because of my persistence and my commitment and my action and my focus and my direction. All of these things created the result. So it's really about tapping into resources beyond your own to make sure results occur in your life. And you can't do that unless you're committed, because the minute you start waffling and wavering, and we are just experts at waffling and wavering around our commitment. Nice phone music. Thank you. We are just totally, you know, capable of making these kind of commitments in our life. And once we experience commitment, we really can get that, the power of it. Now, in his book, he says, you know, he, of course, I put in there that in his book, he says, let's all go through an experience. And it's the second line of our outline today. Let's go through an experience of commitment just so all of you can feel it. Because some of you are sitting back going, okay, Mary Jo, I think I'm committed in life, but my life looks like X, Y, Z. Well, let's just have an experience around commitment for each and every one of you. And here's the experience he gives in his book, which I think is a good one. If you have children, and if not, your parents, and if they're not still alive, you can look at a spouse, anyone that you love, a very strong loved one in your life. Typically, family members, children are the best. And if you say, make the following, think about this and make the following statement. Will my children ever starve to death? And of course, everybody on this phone call is going to come to the conclusion, absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. Absolutely no way. Are my family members, my parents, my children, my spouse. There's no way that they'll ever starve to death, Mary Jo. And you would say that to me. And the intriguing part of you saying that to me is, now you're experiencing true commitment. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have any proof that that's never going to happen. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know any of those things in our lives. But yet you can sit back and tell me, my children will never starve to death. So if you can say those kind of things, then what you need to do, that's a true commitment that you're making. And it's some experience around you that you don't need to have proof, you don't need to have knowledge, you don't have to know the facts, you don't have to sit back and say, well, wait a minute, Mary Jo, let me look at my retirement income, let me look at, you know, what my cash flow is going to be, let me do an analysis. You didn't even ask any of those questions. You wouldn't even begin to ask any of those questions. Because in your heart of hearts, you know you're never going to allow that to ever transpire. That's commitment. So what else in your life can you get committed to, even though you don't know the how-tos or you don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Too many of us sit back and we make decisions about what's going to happen in our life. And it's only decisions we make after we get all the ducks in a row. We have the full analysis done. We've got a sheet of paper that leads us from step one to step 10. Otherwise, we're going to say, well, I'm not sure I can commit to that because I'm not, you know, I don't know how it's going to happen. And I can take an example of this to be perfectly clear with some of you. When the Alaska trip was announced in January, how many people really got committed? How many people said, I don't know how it's going to happen? Because did I know where I was going to get 100 points when they announced the Alaska trip? I had no idea personally, but it didn't matter how those points were going to be earned. I didn't need a how-to. I just said right up front, I'm committed to winning this. In fact, I didn't even go to that point. I said, I am winning this. I set my intent the day it was announced that I'm going to be on that cruise. And then it just happened. I mean, it's just a matter of just taking action, being persistent with it, and making it happen. And so many things came up in the next couple of months to open the door of possibilities to allow it to happen. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives with making commitments on things and watching it happen. Because truly, you're going to tap into all the powers of the universe when you start making commitments. So for those of you who need to look at commitments, just look at that one about starve to death, and you know that's going to be an experience for yourself. And you can say, well, that's pretty dramatic, Mary Jo. I said, everything in life you need to start playing a bigger role in. I love people who talk in the background. Let me keep for a moment. Well, hopefully she's done, because I've got some things I want you to interact with. So under three in the outline, I talk about to what are you committed? Now therein lies the question. And some of you on this call are going to say, well, Mary Jo, I'm committed to my Manatech business. In fact, I'm prayerful that everybody on this call today says I'm committed to my Manatech business. But the truth is, what you have in your life right now, whatever that is, wherever your Manatech business is, whoever you are as a person, who you've become, is exactly what you're committed to. Like it or not, it's true. So we can look at our Manatech business and say, well, Mary Jo, I'm not committed to, you know, only being at regional director. I mean, I was committed to being presidential by such and such and such, or I was committed. And I'm going to suggest to you that's not true. I'm going to suggest to you that you weren't committed to being presidential. You weren't committed to being national. You weren't committed to being executive. You were committed to being regional. And you could say, well, that's not true because I wrote it down in my goals. Is a written goal a commitment? No, it's not. It's not a commitment. A commitment is something that you're writing down for yourself. I mean, it could be a commitment. For some of you, your written goals are commitments. But for most of us, they're not. Because we're not, right, when we write down a goal, we're not saying, we're going to make this happen no matter what. That's the definition of commitment for you. So the reality is whatever you've created in your life is a result that you've created based on the commitment you've had. And the commitment is the result you've created. That's what you've been committed to. Anyone recognize that voice, please call her and tell her to put *6. She's not listening to the call. So, if you're committed to failure, can you be committed to failure equally as well as being committed to success? Absolutely. Then why are you not being committed to success? Why am I not successful in my Manatech business? If I'm committed to why would I commit to failure in my Manatech business? I'm going to suggest to you, maybe perhaps you're not saying, Mary Jo, I sit down and I commit myself to failure in Manatech. I'm going to suggest that there are other things that are overpowering what's happening in your Manatech business. So the first thing I want everybody to do on this exercise is, first of all, tell me what it takes to be successful in the Manatech business. You can see under three on your outline, I give you five lines, and I'm just going to let people kind of shoot off, you know, on this phone call, just kind of tell me, if you had to list what are the five most important things to do in your Manatech business to make it successful, what would those five things be? Come on, people, let's get creative. What are the five most important things to commit to? What? Prospect. Oh, good. I'm glad we got that. And that does belong in the top line. Okay, prospecting. Okay, what else? Follow up. Absolutely. What else? And follow through. Yeah, exactly. We'll put those on the same one. What else is required to be successful in your Manatech business? What? Support downline. Yep, exactly. Support your downline by nurturing them, right? Exactly. What else is required to do a good Manatech business? Come on, people, what else do we have to do? Be consistent. Yep, be consistent is important. It's absolutely important. Be consistent. Yeah, that's part of prospecting, right? Or you know, because it's part of, well, we can say it. We can say closing, right? Closing people. Is that important? Amen. And three-way calls is part of your process of closing people, three-way calls. Okay, and you can go on and on. You could list a lot. You could say, you know, how about, you know, supporting new business builders specifically? How do I bring along a brand new business builder? You know, supporting new business builders so that you have a system that really helps you do that. You're being totally organized. We know being organized, okay? Now, when you look at those things that you just wrote down, whether you have five or six or whatever major things you have, that you know that it takes. You know that you know that you know. Does everybody on this call know that it takes at least five of those things that we mentioned in order to be successful in Manatech? Y'all agree? Great. Now I'm going to ask you, why aren't you doing these things in your Manatech business? Isn't it fun? I know you don't like to look at yourself and say, wow, Mary Jo, this is tough. Why am I not prospecting enough? I'm going to tell you it's the number one thing that causes people failure today because I keep getting it in my pathway class and my other courses and my trainings I do. I look at people and they're contacting one new person a week or they have four people in their hopper. And I'm like, you know, that's a great hobby you're running, but if you really want to work this as a business, it's going to take more than one person a week. Is it not? Does everybody agree it takes more than contacting one new person a week to really make this business go? Yeah. So what is it about us that keeps us back from only contacting? Why do we only call one person a week? Why is it that we're adding one person new to our hopper every week? What is it? Lack of commit? Well, let's go deeper than that. Because it's not, I'm going to suggest to you, it's not lack of commitment as much as it's you're committed to something else. What is the commitment that you have that keeps you from prospecting? Fear? Amen. Fear is a huge one. Why is fear so big? What do we fear? We fear rejection, exactly. We don't want people to say, oh, I don't like you because we take it personal. And we have this fear about rejection. And we want to make sure that we don't, you know, we don't get out there and get rejected. We don't want to have that negative feeling in our lives. It's easier if we sit back because we don't have to worry. If I never share Manatech with somebody, do I ever have to worry about rejection? Well, not around Manatech, I don't. That's for sure. I don't have to create that as a possibility. And it's not only a possibility, it's a probability. There are going to be people from time to time who say no to you. Isn't that accurate? Yeah, absolutely. So if that's a given, why is it so much about us that we have to worry about fear? I mean, if we know it's going to happen, if you know that you know that you know, and it has nothing to do with you, but yet we want to avoid fear so badly that our commitment is what? Our commitment is that we don't want that fear in our life. We don't want rejection. So our commitment to stay away from rejection is greater than our commitment to being successful in our Manatech business. And you can go and analyze each one of them. I made a list for you. The next one is being safe. Some of you are so into being safe. You want to stay in that comfort zone because the comfort zone is comfortable. When you talk to others, all of a sudden it gets uncomfortable because somebody might say to you, oh my goodness, they might be smarter than you. They might have more health information than you have. Trust me, there wasn't a person on the face of the earth that didn't have more health information than I had when I started in Manatech. Why? Because I came out of business and lawyering and marketing. I didn't know anything about health. I didn't even know what the endocrine system was when I started doing Manatech. But that didn't stop me from going out and sharing because it didn't matter what I knew. What mattered most was what? That I needed to focus on the other person's life. I needed to step in and help people get a new understanding or greater understanding. I didn't care if somebody looked at me and said, Mary Jo, you don't know what you're talking about, da 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 da. It didn't matter to me. I could look at him and say, you know what? You're right. I don't have a lot of information in the health field, but I know that I know one thing. I've read the science, I've looked at this, and this is something lacking in our diets. And I want to share it with the world, because when I know there's nutrient lacking, I want everybody to have it. So it didn't matter that I didn't know what the endocrine system was or how the blood flowed out of the heart and was pumped out and brought back in. I didn't know anything. I didn't know how many glands were in the body. I didn't know anything about how cells, you know, all the DNA or the RNA or the Golgi apparatus or the endoplasmic reticulum. I didn't know any of that stuff. I don't think it's ever necessary to know that stuff. But for some of us, we just feel like we don't want to look silly, and it's easier to stay safe. So we have a commitment. It's not a commitment to our Manatech business. It's a commitment to be safe. So we stay safe. We stay in the comfort zone, because going out there and doing all the other stuff makes us uncomfortable, and we run risks. Another thing that we are committed to, we get committed to freedom. Some of you are out there telling me, oh, Mary Jo, my whole business is so disorganized, my house, but I don't want to have structure it. I don't want to develop the systems from your system CD. I fight that every day because I love the freedom that this business gives me, because I don't have to have structure. I don't have to work a certain set hours. I don't have to put in time. I don't have to start off my day and end my day this, you know, in a certain way. I can let my telephone calls back up for 6 months. I can let 3,000 emails collect on my email bank. I can do all of that because that's the freedom I have in the Manatech business. Am I right that that's a freedom you have? Do all of you have that freedom? Is that freedom going to set you free in the long run? Or is it the freedom you're exercising today that's a self-destructive freedom? Do you see the difference? But you're choosing freedom because you don't want to put structure. It's one of the things attracting you. But when you start analyzing it, it's exactly what's destroying your ability to be successful in Manatech that's really going to create the freedom you absolutely want in your life, which is the financial freedom and the time freedom that you're really looking for. So does it make sense that maybe today you pay a price around getting structure and organization and skillful and effective in your day-in and day-out business, so that sometime down the road, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you can experience the financial freedom that you really so desperately desire, or the time freedom you desperately desire? Because if you don't make those choices today, they're not going to happen in the future. You've got to pay a price. There's going to be some pain associated with it. And I'm going to, trust me on this issue too. When you start doing the structure in your life, I met with a gal out in California, and she's just off the charts. And she said to me, she says, Mary Jo, ever since Manifest, I started implementing the systems that you have on that system CD. And she said, it's been the most miraculous thing in my life. It's taking me time, and I'm not done yet. But she says, every time I get one in place, it's like this gigantic weight is lifted off my back. It's like all of a sudden I always thought it was about freedom for me, that I didn't have to do all that. Really, it's about being free from the mess. It's being free from the disorganization. It's giving me massive freedom. I never looked at freedom like I look at it today. Isn't that, it was exhilarating to hear somebody talk about their life being so transformed just by adding structure or systems in their life. And see, that's what you're, when you start not doing your Manatech business, or you're not organized, or you're not consistent in your business, it's because you're hanging out in that, but Mary Jo, I'm free. I no one tells me what to do. I don't have to have structure. And it's that's, you know, I'm this creative type, and I kind of enjoy that. Well, great. You can go and enjoy comfort. You can enjoy safe. You can enjoy freedom in all those ways. But you know what? You're not going to ever enjoy success in the Manatech business. So it's about commitment. You have a competing commitment going on in your life for other things that aren't serving you. So you need to make a shift from that competing commitment. One other one I want to bring up, because it happens so much, especially because so many of us involved in Manatech are women, and we get this idea in our head that, oh my gosh, if I'm going to be a successful Manatech person, I'm going to have to give up being a good mom, or a good spouse, because I can't have balance in my life, because I look at people like Mary Jo, who travels all around the world, and look at how many hours she's gone from her family. Of course, you know, my family's all grown up, except, well, my husband's, he's kind of semi-grown up, in some ways, but anyway, but they look at that and they go, boy, if I have to do that, I'm going to lose all my balance in my family life and my balance here. And I want to tell you that this is not an either-or scenario. It's not about either-or, because who creates the either-or concept? Where's that coming from? Is that written in a book somewhere, that you can't be an effective manatecker and be a good parent? Did anyone read that in a book somewhere? Do you think it exists in any book anywhere? So it doesn't exist. It isn't out there anywhere that it's either or. So where is that coming from? It's coming from what? You. You're making your own mind that somehow you can't have balance in your life if you do Manatech full-time and you're successful in it. So if you have the belief system that if I really am successful in Manatech, it's going to eat up all my time and energy, because some of you are looking how busy you are today, busy taking automatic orders, booking automatic orders, busy selling product out of your house, busy doing a lot of things that aren't creating any income for you, or aren't moving your, is not moving your business forward. That's one thing to really look at. Do you really think that if you got to 20,000, 40,000, 60,000, 100,000 in GPV, you can continue doing what you're doing today? Absolutely not. So you need to start making shifts today in that busyness to start being more effective at what you do. And I'm going to suggest to you, you can do this business in 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, whatever, and be tremendously more effective than a lot of people doing it 8 hours a day, because you're making better choices and you're being more concise around use of your time, and you're not throwing time away. You become good time managers. And now all of a sudden the either-or concept is out the window, because it's not about either-or. That's just a concept you've developed in your head, and maybe you've developed it because you've seen other people who are very busy in this. But one of the most biggest reasons why you've developed it is because you look at your own life, how busy you stay, and you're only at national today, and you're going, oh my gosh, what is this going to look like at presidential? Did I do that when I was a national director? Absolutely. I looked at my life and I said, oh my gosh, look at all the time and energy I'm putting out. How does somebody do this when they get to be at 100,000 in volume? And it's kind of a scary thought, because if at 20,000 or 15,000 it looks like this, what's this going to look like? I'm going to tell you, every year you need to analyze that and make a list of what you did the past year and what you're going to do next year, and cut out a bunch of stuff, because as you grow this business, your time is dedicated in different ways, and you'll become much more effective, and incredible results you'll affect because of your effectiveness by dropping out some of the things that are just busy work versus achieving results for you. And it really is remarkable how your life will change as you grow your business and get to different levels. And some people say to me when I go on the road, what's the first thing out of their mouth? I want a Lydia just like you have. Do you ever hear that comment? Anyone on the call? Yeah. Wait. Well, how do you get a Lydia until you get effective enough that you're making enough money to afford one? And that's the big thing. That's the other thing you can look at. Hey, if I grow my business big enough, then I can afford to have an assistant who can do A, B, C, D, E, F, the things I don't like to do in the business, or the things to follow up, and all of the, you know, answering emails, getting stuff out, packages in the mail, all these things. I can find somebody else who's going to do that for me, and all of a sudden I can be out there being most effective by doing all the prospecting, op meetings, whatever it is that you love to do the most. In Manatech, you can emphasize your strengths instead of doing everything. But you can't get there until you work hard enough to make enough money to be able to support yourself with an assistant in your business. So it's all about, it's not either or, it's never either or. In fact, a lot of people I work with, I say, okay, when you get to executive director, I did this with a couple of gals in my organization, I said, what's the thing you most want in your life? And they always tell me what, they want a maid service. They would like somebody to clean their house. And I go, great, make a commitment, talk to your husband, say, honey, if I get to executive director and this is what income it's going to be like, can we then get a maid service for that? And I'm telling you, it's a great little gift. It's a great incentive. It's a great motivator. And I've got a couple of people working on it right now. But what a beautiful thing that just takes more time and energy out of your life and passes it on. You start delegating to other people instead of having to have to do it yourself. So you get the concept of competing commitments. But you need to really recognize what you have right now in your life and who you are as a person right now in your life is what you're committed to. So how do you shift to make a difference? Well, you got to get rid of the competing commitments out of your life before you can do that. Because something's interfering with any kind of commitment you have to the Manitech business. Otherwise, you'd be doing the five things that are most important to make your business work. All right, meeting a commitment. We're on the outline. Number four is the meaning of commitment. Commitment is as simple as giving and keeping your word. It's doing your best. Commitment is doing what you said you would do, whether or not you feel like it. So it's not about whether you feel good or feel bad, or you're up or you're down, or you're depressed or you're happy or you're joyful or you're anxious. It doesn't matter. It's about doing what you said you're going to do, no matter what your feeling might be. That is what commitment is. And that is where we want to be. We want to be heavily involved and totally committed, making things happen no matter what. Doesn't matter how we feel, what we look like, what's going on in our life. None of that matters. You just have a total commitment to do what you say you're going to do. And that's true about everything that happens in our life. I mean, some people say to me, Mary Jo, you've been doing this Monday call for 6 years. I started in 2000. So I've been doing this Monday call for 6 years. Do you think on every single Sunday night or Monday morning, I'm always like, you're like, I can't wait to do my Monday call. You get that? I mean, there are times in my life when I'm so busy and I have so many things. Let's take, for instance, even last night. I was in San Diego for 5 days. I was out there with my nephew at his graduation on Saturday and Sunday. We celebrated. We just had a great time. I had Lydia send out to me my, you know, How to Live Life with Passion, my Peter Hirsch book, so that on the airplane on the way home last night, coming back from this 5-day trip, what did I do? I prepared my outline for this morning. That is called commitment. You do what you say you're going to do no matter what it takes. And sometimes it's not always that comfortable, and sometimes it's inconvenient, and sometimes it doesn't fit with what you'd rather be doing. But you know what? If you make a commitment to do it, you do it. It doesn't matter. That is what commitment is. So you just make sure and look at your life and look at what you're doing. What are you committed? I tell people in the Manitech business, I said, do you have a business plan? If you don't have a business plan, then you're not committed to doing Manitech as a business. Because no business on the face of the earth is run without a business plan. So you've got to start looking at, what does that look like for me? What do I need to be doing to formulate that business plan? Leaders also leverage power. Leaders who have commitments, and you look at people who are totally committed to a future of unlimited possibilities. We got a lot of static in the background. Leaders who are totally committed to unlimited possibilities, those are the people that people follow. They look after them. And Andrew Carnegie had one of the greatest secrets to unlimited wealth, and he did it in one statement. He said, I would rather have 1% of the efforts of 100 people than 100% of my own. I would rather have 1% of the efforts of 100 people than 100% of my own. And what does this statement say and mean? It means basically that leverage is unbelievable for all of us. It is where you want to be. You want to have the energy of 100 different people working for you rather than 100% of your own energy. And this is exactly what network marketing is all about. It's about taking on yourself the leverage of not 100 people, but maybe some of you have 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You'd rather have 1% of the efforts of 100 people than 100% of my own. And that is truly Andrew Carnegie's success statement. He says this is the whole concept behind being successful in life, and that he looked at his time, it was about industrialization, and it was about employees and being in that business quadrant that we see in the cash flow quadrant, the B under Kiyosaki, where you have leverage of employees. Today we're looking at leverage with associates in our Manitech business. So you'd rather have the efforts of 1% of the efforts of 100 people rather than 100% of your own. And you can truly achieve so much more through a team or network of people than you ever can by yourself. So that's what you're looking for. So make the commitment, and the people, leaders who have that kind of commitment to unlimited possibilities in their life really become magnets. They become attractor factors. They're the ones that people are so attracted to be around. And another quote I put in the outline today, which is so important and was so great for me to read, was it's Walter Cronkite, and he said, I can't imagine a person becoming a success who doesn't give this game of life everything he's got. I love that statement. I can't imagine a person becoming a success who doesn't give this game of life everything he's got. And that's what commitment's about. What am I making a commitment to say, no matter what happens, this is going to happen. No matter what comes up in my life, this will happen. There is commitment. So now under five, I've just given you a little outline, and at the end of the outline, under number five, it's your time to work through what you are committed to. So there's just a little, you know, group of lines there that you can go back and review your values, your purpose, your beliefs, everything we've talked about around living with purpose or living with passion in this book by Peter Hirsch. You know, we've been going through many chapters in this. We've talked about beliefs, we've talked about values, we've talked about focus, all these things. Look at back at all the things that we reviewed today and say to yourself in your life, okay, what are my top five commitments that I'm willing to make in my life right at this moment? What are those top five commitments? And one of them should be, if not more, should be around what's your commitment with your Manatech business? And I love to work with people around this because it really clearly shows what are you truly committed to? And use the definition of commitment. Don't say will, wish, want, desire. It's commitment is what will happen no matter what. That's commitment. So what are you willing to commit to that you're saying, no matter what, I'm going to make this happen? Therein lies your commitment. And then you take on the task of making it happen. Again, with providence behind you, with the universe coming forth with all the energy to help promote and see that that comes through. One of the biggest payoffs of commitment, so everybody needs to do that exercise, by the way. It's on the last page of the outline. You need to write that out for yourself, and no better time than to start today with making commitments to yourself and to the rest of the world. And, of course, for those of you who have been into this commitment industry and commitment business, you know the number one person we typically break commitments to is ourself. And when you start doing that, you start undervaluing who you are. You start making the statement, I'm not worthy, I'm not worth it, you have all this self-esteem stuff comes pouring out. So do not break commitments to yourself. The long-range impact of that is unbelievably self-defeating. So when you make commitments to yourself, make sure those happen. So list your commitments on this sheet and start today. One of the biggest payoffs of commitment is what we call persistence. And some of you say, how can that be a payoff? Oh, it's huge. Is persistence required in terms of commitment? Absolutely. In fact, if you look down below on the bottom of the last page of the outline, you're going to see some language that came directly out of Peter Hirsch's book. He says, commitment is action, determined, and persistent. Persistence is absolute. And persistence, why is it a payoff? Because persistence creates results. And being persistent and getting results is what is the greatest payoff. But it takes persistence to get there. He also put in his book, he said, he has people asking the question, how long must I persist? And that really, look at that question. How long must I persist? That's as silly a question as a statement, I like to be consistent sometimes. Persistence is something you need in your life, every day of your life, every moment of your life, in everything that you commit to, persistence is required. So it's not that you start and stop. It's not a start and stop object. It's something that forever exists. And some of you will look at that and say, oh my gosh, but persistence is so hard. It takes so much energy. Not really. It takes determination. It takes focus. And that's what it takes. It doesn't mean that you're blitzing and you're putting in, 110% of your energy every day. That's not what this is. This isn't about blitz. This is about being persistent. It's about striking forward, moving forward, stepping out, doing what it takes every day of your life, no matter what gets in the way, and just being consistent with it. Just staying the course. That's what persistence is. And all of us can use a little lessons in persistence. So down to definitions. Commitment is action, determined, and persistent. Commitment is relentless patience. Commitment is what makes the difference. Commitment requires focus. Commitment requires positive belief. Commitment requires a positive attitude. And commitment requires purpose. And therein lies commitment. Okay, I hope I got it. Did I have everybody back? Hello? Yep, there you are. Okay, so tell me about commitment in your life. Anyone want to share what this meant to you in terms of listening to an exercise around commitment? Do we see where we fall short sometimes in our life around the word commitment? Uh-huh. Hi, Susan. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Great. Sure. Got it. Right. You bet. Because exactly, and Susan, you're hitting the nail on the head. I work with so many people around that. It's great. You know, do your goals have to be something that you commit no matter what? Not necessarily. Understand that you could set a goal and say, Mary Jo, I have a goal to be presidential by December of this year. Now, what you need to do is on a weekly basis, you need to make commitments to yourself of what you're going to accomplish. Those commitments should be no matter what commitments. Now, whether or not you become presidential has a lot to do with you breaking new business builders, certain things happening outside the realm of potentially your total control. Do you agree with that? So it may be that you don't get to presidential by December of 2006. But the intriguing part of this exercise is that on a weekly basis, you need to make bite-sized commitments that you know you're going to do no matter what. When you start making commitments to yourself weekly that are over in excess, they're like wishes or whims or desires instead of true commitments, then every week you sit back, just like Susan said, and you start hammering yourself, and the hammer comes out, you start beating up on yourself, and I'm not worthy, and all that questioning that you do about yourself really becomes self-destructive. So be careful about what you get totally committed to. And sometimes we have to step back. I had some kids in the pathway class and other things, they'd say, I'm going to get 10 points for the cruise. And they'd come back with 2 points. And I'd say, you know what? Why don't you commit to 2 points? If you make 10 points, great. But commit to something that you truly know, no matter what, you will get done. Now, watch what happens. Okay, so Susan, you hit the nail on the head. You're absolutely right. Start looking at what your commitments are, because breaking commitments to yourself is very damaging. But you also can look at, you know, if they get small bite size and you're still not meeting them, now look at what's interfering with my life. What am I truly committed to because I'm not making those happen? But when you put something out there that's so unrealistic, then it's not that you have something competing with it. It's just you're biting off too much to chew. And we don't want to do that either. I don't like people to set goals that are far beyond what they can possibly make, because I don't want them to bite off too much, because I know what happens. The negativity and the self-doubt and the self-worth issues really start flying when you start putting yourself out for too much. Okay? Great. Thanks for the share, Susan. Great insight. And I wasn't tapping into your phone call this morning. Okay, go ahead. Hi, Peggy. There you go. It's okay. No, great. Great. Well, thank you. Yeah. You bet. And it truly is choice. It's about choice about can I release this? Because the important thing about our past and things that happen is everybody has turmoil in their lives. A lot of us want to, you know, tell our story because our story is more horrendous than somebody else's or whatever it might be. But the reality is, number one, we cannot do anything about our past. We can't change it. It is what it is, what it is. But are we going to let our past or past things that happened to us, are we going to let that control our future? Therein is the choice. Because, you know, and I have a, you know, special concept around that because of my, you know, my Christian beliefs and my spiritual beliefs around everything happens for a purpose. So I can relatively easy in my life, because I know there's always a reason for why things happen. I don't have to know what it is, but I can always say, you know what? God's got his hand in that. There's a reason and purpose for it, and I can still move on. And I just know that I'm not in control. So it's, you know, you just kind of say, okay, this is not going to stop me. I can be committed. I can move forward. I can create whatever I choose to create. I can step into that and create that in my life. And that is where the direction we need to be, because otherwise we become victim to our past, and we sure don't want to do that. So great, Peggy. I'm just glad. And it is choice, and it's just stepping into it. And it's not about being insensitive, and it's not about forgetting, and it's not about all that stuff. It's truly about making better choices, yeah, and loving the world, moving forward, and getting back into the joyful spirit we're all intended to come from, right? Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyone else want to share? Sure. Uh-huh. The new trainings? Isn't there a little... Yeah, the new manatrain.net website? Manatrain.net. It should have a button that says upcoming trainings, and it shows pathway and all things, anything that's coming up. Coaching. It's called coaching programs. Oh, from last year. Oh, they're on there. It's Monday training calls. Lydia, what's the title? Monday training calls? Doesn't it say training calls? And you just press that button. You just hit that button and the whole thing lists. Oh, you're looking for the list. Because now you can it's all categorized. You can do a search engine. We put a search engine on there. So if you wanted to find something around objections, you could hit objections. If you want to see the total list, there's a little button on there that says show me entire list. It's a link that says show me entire list. Okay? You bet. Just say, if you want to look, just kind of thumb through them and say, show me the entire list, hit that link, okay? And you can get the whole list like we had. Yeah, people are confused how to use it. Now that you have the sorting, they don't know how to use it.